Studio 360.
The late playwright August Wilson won the Pulitzer Prize for his play Fences in 1987, but it never became a movie because Wilson always insisted that it required a black director to film it. Well, Denzel Washington stepped up, stars in it as well, and Fences opens in theaters on Christmas Day.
Now, don't you go through life worrying about whether somebody like you or not. You best be making sure they're doing right by you.
Denzel Washington also has a deal with HBO to produce the full set of what Wilson called his century cycle about African-American life. 10 plays, one set in each decade of the 20th century, and all but one of those set in Pittsburgh, where he grew up. And as the Fences movie was wrapping there in Pittsburgh this past summer, a staging, an unusual staging, of another August Wilson play was about to get underway. And that production ended up revealing a lot about how Wilson's old neighborhood, the Hill District, has struggled for the last half century, and how the city itself has wrestled with just how to honor Wilson. Erica Barris is based in Pittsburgh and has the story.
The three-story apartment building at 1727 Bedford Avenue is beside two vacant lots. The building itself was condemned long ago. But there's something about this house, something about the backyard. Something, if you're a fan of August Wilson, familiar.
If you know his work, and if you walk back there, first thing you're going to think of, this is the set for Seven Guitars.
That's Mark Clayton Southers. He's directed the play Seven Guitars in a theater. But for a production this summer, he was getting ready to stage it in this actual backyard of Wilson's boyhood home. Wilson referred to this backyard when he wrote the script of Seven Guitars.
It's exactly like it's described in a play.
2 weeks before opening night, workers drilled and hammered away on the house.
I'm related to August Wilson. I'm his nephew.
Paul Ellis runs a nonprofit that owns this house. For decades, the house matched other houses around, boarded up. So how did the home of someone of Wilson's stature manage to nearly topple over?
I would think that the way a city would honor a white artist of August Wilson's standing would have been much larger.
Salah Uddin grew up with Wilson and acted in some of his plays. He even originated the lead role in a Pittsburgh production of Jitney. And he's thought a lot about why the city hasn't properly memorialized August Wilson.
The city always considered August Wilson its native son, but I think the city considered August its native stepson.
The son who's treated more like the favorite, Andy Warhol. Both ultimately left Pittsburgh. Wilson left the city, but never stopped writing about it. Warhol left and never looked back. But it's Warhol's legacy that's everywhere. A bridge was even renamed for him. And the Andy Warhol Museum is a popular spot in the city's North Side neighborhood.
Bridges, buildings, museums.
Pittsburgh's steel mills closed in the 1980s, and the city made a remarkable comeback. But that renaissance seems to have drawn a line around the Hill District. 40% of the people who live here are below the poverty level, and the Hill is 95% black. For decades, it's endured crime rates much higher than the rest of the city. But when August Wilson was born here in 1945...
When we had to go in the house after it started to get dark, we would put pillows in the windowsill so that we could look out and watch the parade of activity and people dressed up, going up and down the street, going in and out of the clubs, talking smack.
Charles Mingus, Miles Davis, and John Coltrane were all drawn to the jazz clubs here. The neighborhood was thriving. And then there was news that things were about to get even better.
The truly dynamic American cities are those that are coming to grips with the problem of outmoded structures. Increasingly, we are seeing large-scale demolition as the first step in building modern cities.
This is from a 1956 U.S. Chamber of Commerce film promoting urban renewal. Once those buildings were demolished, developers promised that more impressive ones would rise in their place.
We are steadfast as we tackle problems, and the hammer of demolition will be sure to swing with determination.
Blacks were on board with the idea of the urban renewal.
That's historian Larry Glasgow. I talked to him in an empty lot on the hill where August Wilson School once stood.
The black community supported it. The black political establishment, the Pittsburgh Courier, were all very excited about it. In fact, they wanted it. But you have to be careful what you hope for.
95 acres of the lower hill was razed, including Salah Uddin's home and the school he attended with August Wilson. In its place went an arena where the Pittsburgh Penguins played, and blocks of parking lots. As for the big plans for redevelopment around the arena, they never happened.
It was devastating. The idea of a whole neighborhood having to move was completely new and perplexing and had never been heard of.
That was in the mid-1950s. If you go there now, this is what you find.
It's a parking lot, and there are no signs of life ever having been there.
And that hockey arena?
It's a hockey night!
The players are about 98% white, and the fan base is pretty similar.
It became the symbol of that destruction and demolition. So many people hated the Civic Arena and hated the hockey games that brought white patrons from the suburbs to watch their hockey games and to park all over the neighborhood and then leave to go back to their homes in the suburbs.
Mindy Fullilove wrote a book about how urban renewal affected black communities. She calls Pittsburgh's Hill District
the poster child of the horrors of urban renewal. So not only was it vibrant, it was politically powerful, culturally powerful, socially powerful, and it was becoming economically powerful. All of that was set back by the urban renewal project.
But people still tried to make the best of it. And then, on April 4th, 1968.
I have some very sad news for all of you, and that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Riots erupted in black neighborhoods all over the country. In aerial news footage from the Hill District at the time, it looks like a bomb was dropped. Blocks upon blocks of buildings were burning. Families lost their homes when they were burned to the ground. Businesses that were destroyed never reopened.
We have over 4,500 families that are in need of food and clothes within this area.
This is newsreel footage from that week. A reporter is talking to the coordinator of a relief office.
And if someone gets food today, when it runs out, say tomorrow or the next day, can they come back and ask for it again?
They will have to come back. They have no other alternative because all of the stores here within the Hill District have been burned down to the grounds.
But Mindy Fullilove says the riots were not just a response to the King assassination.
The riots are in part a response to the empty promises of urban renewal.
August Wilson witnessed all that devastation of the riots and of urban renewal before he moved away in 1978. During an interview in the 1980s, Bill Moyers asked Wilson what happened to the neighborhood he grew up in.
Same thing has happened to most black communities. It's most of it is no longer there. The buildings and what used to be at one time a very thriving community, all but a depressed community, but still there were stores and shops all along the avenue. They are not there anymore.
And those grocery stores that closed after the riots, they didn't reopen for decades. It wasn't until 3 years ago that the Hill District got a proper grocery store again. That's where I found Cynthia Davis.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Filling up a shopping cart and greeting neighbors.
Hi, baby. Come here and give me some sugar.
Bring it in.
She's 60 years old. And she vividly remembers those riots.
I guess the only way I could describe it, it just felt like the community had a heart attack. It just had a heart attack and just kind of died off for a minute.
A grocery store opening is not big news in most places. But in the Hill?
It meant a lot in the community and for the community. But I don't know, I was still somewhat disheartened because it was so long overdue.
Just a few blocks from the supermarket, the cast and crew for the August Wilson play is in what was once his backyard. Preparing for the show has meant getting permits, reconnecting electric lights, and building bleacher seating. It's a week before opening night, and there's so much left to do. They aren't just hoping for the best. They're praying for it.
We pay homage to the sun, to the moon, to the world, and we pay homage to this house in which August Wilson was born.
Ibae, we pay homage and respect.
Director Mark Clayton Souther says this backyard that Wilson recreated in the play is special.
It's sacred ground. It's like a mecca for the theater folks to come to.
Seven Guitars takes place in 1948 and features seven characters before and after a funeral. In this production, seemingly small gestures gain significance. Like when a character says,
Dr. Goldblum, right across the street, only costs $2.
Hold, please, we got to find out where his house was. He's one of these houses. We got to find out where so we point to the right direction, okay? You know where it was?
Yeah.
Which way?
August Wilson died in 2005. His funeral procession wound its way through these streets, even by this house. By then, his friend Salah Uddin was on the Pittsburgh City Council representing the Hill District. He helped establish the August Wilson Center for African American Culture, which cost $42 million. The building is downtown, a short walk over the Allegheny River on the Andy Warhol Bridge to the Andy Warhol Museum. The Warhol Museum, by the way, has been bustling and thriving since it opened in 1994. But shortly after the August Wilson Center opened, there were money problems and mismanagement.
Center officials were forced to lay off half of its staff yesterday. The center features exhibits that reflect African American history and culture. The center is currently behind in payments on a $7 million loan.
The center closed. Then foundation money was lined up to open its doors again. But the scars remain.
It's painful to watch the newspaper stories of the failed August Wilson Center, the foreclosure, the this, the that, the taxes, the that, and compare that against what we all hoped we were building by calling it the August Wilson Center for African American Culture.
Okay, man.
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Good, how you doing?
It's a beautiful August night, and people are shuffling in and taking their seats in the backyard of the childhood home of August Wilson. Like a movie set, a few trailers serve as a backstage. Actors are bustling around.
I need to start curling my hair.
Wally Jamal spent his childhood running the streets of the Hill District. Now, he's an actor, and he's been in 9 Wilson plays. Tonight, he's in 7 Guitars.
I equated this experience to being a Shakespearean actor performing at Stratford on Avon. To me, it's the same, because he's our Shakespeare.
7 Guitars was performed throughout August and drew people from all over the city. It sold out most of its run. But what audiences really seemed to connect with was the nostalgia. It's set in 1948.
That has got to be the longest hill I'd ever seen. I can't be walking up these hills getting all those muscles in my legs.
The nostalgia was for the period before urban renewal, before the riots, when every night in the Hill District had this kind of excitement.
For your information, if you haven't already figured this out for yourself, this here is called the Hill District. That's one of two things that any woman coming to Pittsburgh needs to know. Now, the other thing is, where to find me?
Waiting on the hoochie-coochie man. Everybody knows I'm here.
Erica Barris produced that story. By the way, the interior of Wilson's childhood house is being restored, too, as a performance space and cafe.